The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello and welcome to the Arrowhead Pride Podcast we call From the Podium, where you get to hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney. It's a big Saturday edition of From the Podium as we are leading into the AFC title game on Sunday at 5:40 p.m. Arrowhead time. On this podcast, you'll get to hear the Friday press conferences of Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, who actually spoke. We'll take a quick break, and then you'll get to hear from Travis Kelce and Frank Clark. But first up, here is the Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid.
Hey, coach, we are ready whenever you are.
Okay. So the guys that didn't practice today, Le'Veon gave it a whirl. He just, his knee, he's got a little bit of swelling on that. And then Willie didn't practice. Everybody else did some form of practice today. So Patrick and Breland are still in the following the protocol and in the program there. So they'll get checked after this practice, and then we'll see where we're at with that. So, but they, both of them are out of practice, day of practice. Anyways, that time's yours.
Well, first, Todd Lebo. Go ahead, Todd.
So, Coach, you've been telling us about the protocol kind of day by day. This would be the fifth day, or is it safe to say they're in the fifth stage of the thing, and if they pass through today, they'll be cleared to play? And then I'd like to see how Clyde Edwards-Helaire is looking to you, and maybe a little bit on Patrick's foot as well.
Yeah, so the guys have looked good. The injured guys have all looked good. They've moved around with Clyde. I mean, you know, he's done a nice job, to be specific. He's been running around doing a good job. Kind of get back into the flow of things, but he's been doing well.
Go next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Coach, third straight AFC title game. I'm wondering if you think experience matters in these situations, or you take each game as its own unique opportunity and just take it in that vacuum.
Yeah, well, I think you do that. You've got probably a little bit of both. It's good to have been there, but on the other hand, it's a new team and in this situation, and we've got to just play good football, and that's really what it comes down to. Whether you've been here or not, you've got to play good football.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy. I was just wondering what Pat and also Bashaud Breland need to do to clear concussion protocol. There's specific things that they need to do to do that?
Yeah, it's dealing with the doctors, so they do their that part of it, and then they should be good to go if they pass that part, I believe. So that's the next step.
Let's go next to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach, as a quick follow-up to Adam's question, first off, good afternoon. You mentioned they should be good if they pass the protocol. What's your optimism level like for these two?
Yeah, listen, I mean, they seem to be doing well. I guess that I'm not a doctor, so they've been poked and pronged and done everything here, tested and retested. So they've got to go back through and do that now, the final one, and just see where we're at. But they've done well, and they've looked and act normal since they've been out here. But I rely on the docs, so I'm not. I don't say at all that I'm a medical expert by any means.
We'll go last to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Coach, missing practice or being a partial practice for Patrick Mahomes? I mean, I assume every player is a little bit different, but how much does that affect him? How much does that worry you that he didn't get the normal reps this week?
Yeah, listen, I think he's good. I mean, he knows the offense well enough and has had enough reps to where he'd be fine if everything works out okay here. So he should be fine.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Hey, Patrick, as best you can you just try to explain what this week has been like for you? And can you also tell us just where you are in the concussion protocol process, if you're out or if you're still in it?
Yeah, I actually just got out of the protocol. The week has just been a bunch of testing, a bunch of different things just to make sure that I'm good to go and there's no lingering effects and anything like that. But everything's been good, and I've went through what all the three, four different doctors have said, and everything's looked well, and I'm out of it now.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Patrick. I'm wondering if you could take us back to the moment that happened. I mean, what was the feeling like, and what was the immediate aftermath like for you?
Yeah, I mean, we had an option play call that we had ran a little bit earlier in the game. I ran it out to the right. Obviously got hit, tried to get up, felt my legs go out, knew that wasn't a good thing. So I was able to get grabbed. I remember before going off the field, I was telling the guys, the trainers to let me stay there so Chad could warm up. I knew that we were about to go for on that fourth down. Then I went and went to the testing and everything like that.
Let's go next to Karen Kornacki. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, Patrick. It's so good to see you. Can you tell me just the attitude you've had that nothing was going to let you miss the AFC championship game, that determination that we know you so well for?
Yeah, I mean, you want to be out there, but you have to go through the protocol and you have to do everything the right way. I mean, you have to look at it long-term as much as you look at it short-term. And with going to the doctors, talking to all the doctors and going through the testing, we have the belief that this will be no lingering effects and that I'll be able to go out there and be myself and be who I am every single week.
Let's go next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Patrick, we've heard what you said in the past about Eric Bieniemy, but now that kind of the coaching cycle is coming and going, I'm curious what your thoughts on him possibly being passed up for a coaching position again.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of it's crazy, I guess would be the best word to describe it. I mean, to see the stuff that comes out and then knowing the man that he is and the coach that he is every single day, you don't understand where the stuff comes from. You understand how great of a coach he is, how great of a person he is, how great of a leader he is. And so it's crazy that he hasn't got his chance to become a head coach, but I promise you he'll keep grinding and keep getting better and better and keep helping us out, which is the positive at the end of the day, and hopefully help us continue to go to these AFC championship games and go into more Super Bowls.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Brad, I'll just have one quick thing after this. Patrick, in covering you the past couple of years, I mean, it's been pretty clear that you're like, you know, ultra competitive. You want to be out there. How difficult was this week with the biggest game of the season coming up to not be able to do certain things?
You have to take it day by day. I think that's the biggest thing. You can only control what you can control. And for me, that was coming in every single day with a positive attitude, trying to make myself better, prepare myself as if I was going to play. And luckily enough, I haven't had any symptoms and I'm able to play. I just prepared myself and controlled what I could control. Luckily enough, we're at where we're at now.
And then just the other thing, it looked like you're a little bit hindered by your toe in that last game. I was wondering how you're feeling in that regard.
It's feeling a lot better. I mean, the next day was very sore. And then every single day since then has gotten a lot better. And, It's stuff that you deal with being a football player. You deal with injuries, and luckily enough for me, it wasn't as bad as it looked, and it felt that day of and that day after.
Got time for a couple more. We'll go Harold and then Seren. Go ahead, Harold.
Patrick, glad you're feeling better, man. When it comes down to just preparing for the Bills, I know so much talk has been about concussion protocol, but what have you actually seen out of the Bills that is different what you faced in Week 6?
Yeah, I mean, even when we faced them in Week 6, that was a really good football team, and they've continued to get better and better each and every week. And that's what you, when you're at this point in the season, you're playing great football teams. And so they have great players at every single level on their defense. Obviously, they have a tremendous offense, And we expect them to come out and be aggressive like they've been playing the last few weeks. And so we'll be prepared for whatever they show us and try to counteract that with our best foot forward and try to find a way to win a football game.
We'll go last to Sarin Petro. Go ahead, Sarin.
Patrick, the Texans job is still out there. This is in reference to what you said about Eric Bieniemy, Coach Bieniemy. There's reports that Deshaun Watson has said Eric Bieniemy is a guy he would like to have. I know the quarterback club's a pretty tight group. Have you spoken with Deshaun? Will you speak with Deshaun? Is it something that you'd have an interest in doing?
Yeah, I talked to him last offseason. It's kind of during the season you don't talk to those guys as much because obviously you're trying to go out there and win football games. Maybe after the season I might shoot him a text or something like that, but I kind of let that stuff kind of handle itself. I know Coach Bieniemy has done everything the right way and prepared himself to take whatever opportunity that is. And if it happens, I'm very happy for him. If it doesn't, he'll continue to grind and be a great offense coordinator for us. So I'm just happy that he's getting these opportunities to go out there and interview, and hopefully one of these teams will be smart enough to take him in to be the head coach of their football team.
Patrick, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You just heard from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and now we continue on with Travis Kelce.
Travis, first time we've talked to you since Chiefs Kingdom came in and repped you in that Walter Payton Man of the Year Challenge, and I just wonder what your message to them is.
Man, I love them for it, man. This the Kingdom is undefeated when it comes to getting support. As a player, I mean, what else can you ask for? A million votes. It's a humbling experience going through it all to even be honored in the Walter Payton Man of the Year, to be a nominee, and then on top of that, to have that much support coming from this fan base in this city, knowing that everything that all the donations and everything are going right back to this city because they deserve it, man.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Travis, through your 7 years now, you've been quite a few postseason games. I was wondering how you make sure you stay to routine and maybe keep some of these younger guys down as they enter their first, like, big experience.
Yeah, I mean, first thing is don't try not to make it any bigger than a regular football game. Emotions and the tension, everything like that can make a guy act uncharacteristic out there on the field. So just trying to be yourself, trying to make it as much of a regular game day experience for yourself going into it. And then know we belong, man. Know we belong. There were games early on in my career in the postseason where, you know, I didn't quite feel like I didn't have the confidence that we belonged. And right now, over the past few years, we've built this team to have a certain type of culture of confidence, knowing that we're going to put in the work throughout the week to be ready game day. And all we got to do is just be ourselves when we go out there.
Let's go next to Sarin Petro. Go ahead, Sarin.
Travis, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, winning games close, right? In the before you guys kind of sat everybody down, 10 in a row, but 7 were by 6 or less. I get asked this all the time by people in other towns, like, oh, are they out of sync? Are they – what's your – I mean, there's an adage, good teams find a way to win close games, right? And 10 in a row is 10 in a row. But for the people outside that maybe the tide is turning and you guys are no longer the upstart underdogs and they're looking for reasons to maybe pick against you guys, what's your explanation for why all those games ended up being within a score?
I don't think we put our best game out there. So, I mean, there's obviously those those red flags or those I don't know, opinions are thrown out there for a reason. And it's on us to make sure that we go out there and play our best. Obviously, you know, you don't want a tight game. You want to put up 50 on everybody. But at the same time, you know, you got to respect the team that you're going against. And I think right now we've gradually started to become a better team all together, where we play off of each other better. Offensive, defensive, and special teams is everything starting to come together like we know how to play. And you know, a lot of that has to do with the coaching that we have and the leadership that we have in this building. It's second to nobody. And I'm just I'm excited. I'm excited to get out there and prove ourselves right and show everybody that we are who we are.
Let's go next to Therese Paler. Go ahead, Therese.
Hey, Kels, how you doing, man?
What's up, big dog?
Hey, man, I'm chilling. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. I got a question for you that I think, you know, is really right up your alley. And I know, you know, you're someone who takes a lot of pride in your background and being able to relate to different people. So here we go. You know, there's a lot going on in the world, and people across multiple industries are trying hard to find common ground in these to accomplish big goals in these trying times, especially in the NFL. Right. So my question for you is, as a team captain, how do you guys maintain a healthy locker room, or how did you maintain a healthy locker room amid a trying 2020? And what were some of the steps that you and, you know, the rest of the captains took to make sure politics and that type of stuff never got in the way of the goal of winning and accomplishing what you needed to accomplish as a team?
Well, I think we got lucky with from the top down, just having great guys in the locker room. You don't have that in every locker room or every organization. And with that comes the understanding that people have different views. People have different ways of life. I know I grew up in I was very fortunate the way I grew up to get that understanding at a young age, but not everybody has that. We definitely have that here. Everybody respects each other. And that's where that's the biggest thing is that everybody respects each other as a man. And then on top of that, there's a culture here that's I don't want to say strictly business, because we are every bit of a brotherhood and a family. But at the same time, you know, we don't let those little things divide us. And I think it's a huge tribute. And I think a lot of who we are is based off of the leadership that we have in this building. And it starts with Coach Andy Reid, Clark Hunt, and it trickles to Spags and Coach Eric Bieniemy, guys that are that hold us accountable on all aspects, challenge the egos in this locker room to become better men and better football players. And with that, man, there's just so much respect and so much love for the guys around you that it's hard to divide us. And that's why I truly believe that when adversity hits, you see us just gear it up another notch and get a little bit better, man, because we just we believe in each other and we believe in what we stand for.
Got time for three more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Adam. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Travis, just curious to get your take on how Pat did at practice this week. What'd you think?
He's flying around every as much as he can. You know, it's me personally, I know that guy's is a tough son of a gun. So he's going to go out there and he's going to try and, you know, get ready the way he knows how, which is take every rep as if it's a game rep. And his attention to detail, his preparation throughout the week, you can see that all of that hasn't changed. It's kind of just, you know, playing within the guidelines that he's been given, knowing that he was in the concussion protocol, or that he is in the concussion protocol. And hopefully from there, we can get him out there on Sunday. But he's definitely working his tail off right now.
Let's go next to Jory Epstein. Go ahead, Jory.
Travis, you mentioned some of the ways the organization broadly set the tone in terms of culture and for Therese's question, but specifically when it relates to social justice, what were some ways that you felt like Patrick really helped set that mood, and whether it was over the summer with his advocacy or in the fall with the voter registration, and what message did that send throughout the locker room as y'all are trying to do what you can on the field, but also be involved in society?
Yes. Well, Patrick did an unbelievable job of just starting the conversation. Him and Ted Cruz, our president, Mark is all of them have done an unbelievable job of just getting the conversation started and let everybody know that we do want to do something about the social justice issues that are going on in this country, especially here in our community where we have the most influence. And Patrick and Tyron Matthew were the leaders in that regard, and we love them for it, because all it really did was bring us together, knowing how everybody felt about the situation, and knowing that football is made up of people from all over the country, you know, and all different upbringings. So when you come together, when it's difficult times like that or conflicting times like that, you know, it's just it makes it a lot stronger for sure.
We'll go last to Nick Jacobs. Good, Nick.
Travis, I'm curious, where did you get the T-shirt and what made you decide to wear it today? Because that looks like the 1993 offensive line that played the Bills last time.
Man, I got a soft spot for the O-lineman, man. My brother's one, and I still don't think O-lineman get enough credit. My guy, man, we got Tim Grunhardt on here. We got Willie Shields, man. Listen, this is the old school, you know, what everybody, at least in my childhood, my age group growing up, everybody knew about this offensive line, man, and just showing love to the old guys and letting them know we still love them and just representing Chiefs Kingdom the way I know how, man.
Travis, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Of course, guys. Have a good one.
That was a great move, like a jack in the box. Good job.
You like that entrance?
I love that entrance. Yeah, thank you for making entrance, my day.
Right? Oh, yeah, that's a Friday entrance for you right there.
Hey, Frank, I just want your take on studying Josh Allen. Do you see a difference? Can anything from that game, that week back in week six, from that game, can anything in that game help you as you see him progress for this one?
Yes. You know, hats off to him. He had a hell of a season, you know, leading that Bills team to where they are. Him and, you know, with the help of course, he got a lot of help around him, you know, Stephon Diggs. You know, they had that running back punch, the 1-2 punch. But, you know, that quarterback, he's doing everything right now. I see a lot of similarities with him and, you know, the Chiefs team from what, 2 years ago when Pat was having that, you know, when the whole Pat thing started kicking off, actually, when everybody, you know, was just so, you know, hyped about the Chiefs when they was 12-0, I believe, you know, that season going into Seattle, all that stuff, whatever. But, and I kind of see a lot of similarities, just the plays he's making, the plays falling down, making throws still, the plays he's making on his feet, and just how they basically putting the game in his hands. He's just been doing a lot to help them win. And, you know, yeah, just studying stuff from last game, you know, you try to eliminate the mistakes and clean up all the plays that you didn't make.
Let's go next to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Frank. How indicative that Friday entrance, that the energy you just showed there, how indicative is that of the atmosphere in the locker room as you prepare to face the Bills in a big game with the winner, the right to go to the Super Bowl? How loose is it there?
I say it's loose, but it's like a focus type of mentality. Everybody, the mindset is stuck on, you know, winning the AFC championship. You know, it's not on winning the Super Bowl. Those are future plans, like, you know, as I say. But it's stuck on winning, you know, the Lamar Hunt trophy, you know, and keeping that trophy here in KC. I feel like everybody's on the same page. And when you have everyone on the same page and you see it in practice, you see it running around, you know, through your effort, through your teammates' effort, through the guys around you, it makes you be more confident. That's what brings out the confidence in a player, but then also as a team, you know, when you see everybody around you on the same court.
Next is Steve Walls. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's up, Frank?
How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. I mean, I've heard guys like Hitch talk about the fact that Spags has given you guys a key, so to speak, to go out there and be yourselves and just play ball. My question for you is how important is the fact that he just lets you guys play and make sure you guys have the beat your man and we win mentality?
Man, it's very important. As a player, all you want is a coach, like Coach Spags, you know, as a player's coach that who understands you and then who wants to put you in the best position, you know, so that you can help your team win football games. You know, I played for a lot of coaches, you know, high school, college, things like that. I'm not saying that, you know, they were bad, but I'm not saying also that their intentions were to bring out the best in their players, you know, and I can say that for sure with Coach Spags, you know, his intentions, you know, they're not negative or nothing like that. You know, his intentions are solely to, you know, have the best defense on that field in the, you know, so that we're not giving up points so that we can have fun and, you know, let our offense do what they do.
We'll go right down the line with the final four, starting with Todd Lebo. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Frank, you talked a little bit earlier about Josh Allen. Just tell me a little bit about the challenge of facing a quarterback of his size, right? A lot of times you go back there and you're way bigger than the dude you're trying to tackle. He's a pretty big cat. What sort of challenge is that?
What's his dimension? I don't remember. You know?
Yes, 6'5", 250 or something like that. 6'5", 237.
I'll tell you that. I had to hit Ben Roethlisberger a few years ago, and I got might have got a little slight concussion from that. But, yeah, he ain't the biggest quarterback. But he's a hell of a tackle, man. Like I said, the kid, he plays with great effort,
And we, if you watch him, man, you watch how, you know, when he's playing, it's just his effort, man. He's a baller. I mean, his hat's off to him. Like I said, you know, you want that type of guy, and you know, leading your team. If you're an offensive player or a defensive player, and you're not a quarterback, you want that type of quarterback leading your team. So, man, it's not about him being a tough tackle or anything like that. I just feel like he does his job. You know, I think people, they see him as a quarterback. They see him like, you know, the sliding thing. And he, man, you see that boy drop his shoulder so many times and stiff arming guys and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just about making the play when you get there.
Go next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Travis talked about this a little bit, and even you touched on it in a previous answer, just understanding that it's just a game and taking it one game at a time. Is there anything that you think back to or kind of that helps focus you if you get a little jittery before the game starts?
Oh, man, before the game, I mean, I don't really get jittery and stuff like that. Like, I really have fun doing this. Like, it's not a hard thing. It's not a hard job. You know what I mean? It's hard to win championships and to do stuff like that, but to do something you love to do, like to go out every day around some guys, you know, with the same goal as myself, that's the joy. I don't come to work and have problems like a lot of these other guys have when they come to coming to work and not loving what they do or not loving the people they're around. You know, like I love being around my players, you know, my guys and my coaches. And, you know, I just love playing football. So, you know, it ain't no jittery thing. I mean, it's the playoffs and, you know, championship opportunities. So, you know, emotions are going to always rise and things like that are going to always happen. But you got to have fun. You got to remember why you're doing it. You know, you got to remember it's kids watching your peoples. You might have kids, you know, they watching you. So when you remember why you're really doing it, and you're doing it for those people, and you know, for the for the sake of yourself, you know, you got to loosen up and have a little bit more fun.
The last two, Pete and then Seren. Go ahead, Pete.
Frank, I think it was recently before a game, you posted a GIF to Twitter of just sharks swimming in the water. I was wondering what happens to you and your psyche and from Saturday to Sunday as you kind of flip that switch.
Oh, man, I go through so many different emotions and changes, man, you know. And, it just kind of, my mind be everywhere, man. I love it so much. I love this game so much, you know, and I put so much, like, of my time and my effort and just my heart into it. It's just like, man, it's Saturday to Sunday is a weird transition because it happens around, like, that afternoon-ish, that evening, Saturday evening is kind of when I kind of, the switch kind of flips, I guess, where kind of only thing I care about is winning. Only thing I really care about is winning at that point and being the best. And if I'm not, shit, I'm mad at myself. And, you know, if I don't win, you know, I'm mad at myself still, you know. So it's kind of one of those things. I'm just a competitor, man. I only care about winning, especially at this point. Like, I only care about winning, being the best I can be for my teammates, and shit, doing it again on repeat.
We'll go last to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
All right, and Brad, if I could get a quick follow-up on this as well. A lot of close games for this team, you know, not the last game, right, when everybody was sat down, but last seven games were within one score. That's a big topic outside of Kansas City, right? That's kind of one of the national themes. You guys aren't the little underdogs maybe that you were last year, right? Now you're the big bad boys that have already won it, and so people are looking for reasons to pick other teams. The reason they land on a lot is that you guys played a lot of close games coming down the stretch. I'm just curious, what's your feeling about playing those close games?
Yeah, I think close games, they really build character for real. When you playing games, man, I ain't gonna mention no teams and no names, but when you playing against teams or you playing in games where you're not challenged, it's gonna affect you in the later half of the season. And I didn't play football my whole life. I watched it happen on a professional level, at a high level. I've been playing for the last 6 years, and I've watched it happen all 6 years where teams come out or players or individuals where they come out and they on this high, you know, and they can't keep this high going. You know, they can't keep that going into the latter half of the season because, you know, like, man, it's just crazy. You watch it so much. It's like the further you go on and, you know, in our league and the more it changes, like the more it happens to me.
And then secondarily, you've answered the questions about Josh Allen. They've gotten to where they're a lot like your offense. They won't run it if they don't think that's the way to go. They've got all those wideouts. Is it safe to say this is a game that you and the D-line have to come up big to, for the Chiefs to win?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that. I think it's safe to say that every game. If you don't put the pressure on the D-line, on the front line, defensive line and the O-line, I feel like if you don't put the game on our shoulders, it's going to be a long one every week. And, you know, it's been times throughout the season where we showed that, you know, where the D-line didn't necessarily play as well. And you see how hard we kind of made a game. You see times where the D-line might have played, you know, better together, did more to help the team. And you see the results of those games. But I just feel like the defensive line is the heart of the team. And I feel like we got to do everything we can to, you know, win this game and, to, you know, take it on and win, you know, on the, you know, running back. So it's about, man, it's about one thing, honestly, this weekend. It's about how good the team is going to play. And that's all I, you know, honestly care about.
Frank, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you guys.